Commissioner, welcome.
Not anymore.
The plan today is to be just at the high level of discussion. And hopefully it'll be a relatively brief meeting, 45 minutes or so. But obviously we'll stay as long as we need. But don't want to get too far in the weeds here. Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you for the opportunity to discuss the governor's 2010-2011 supplemental budget. We have provided, in keeping with your instruction, Mr. Chairman, a high-level slideshow to prompt questioning and discussion on the broader scope of the governor's supplemental budget. If you look at the slide on the bottom of page one, it describes a little bit some of the key recommendations or elements of the governor's supplemental budget. First, we focus on reducing spending to match anticipated revenues. It's no surprise that this supplemental budget does not have a tax increase in it. We have protected priority services in K-12 education, vets, core state public safety. And then the governor, as he outlined to you last Thursday in the State of the State, has new tax incentives for jobs creation, including the Angel Investment Credit, where there's broad consensus, as well as other items that Representative Lincheski and her committee and Senator Bach will get a chance to look at. If you look at the top of page two, just a reminder that the deficit was $1.2 billion. We're currently 7 months into the biennium. That means we have 17 months left. The November forecast was primarily down due to lower than expected revenues, primarily the income tax related to wages. And the remaining gap is 6% of the budget that is remaining. Mr. Chairman, as we have discussed in this committee before, we had some limitations put upon us as a state, as well as other states, by the federal government. And it has to do with the money we received from the federal stimulus bill. For health care eligibility, in order to accept the medical assistance, the federal medical assistance program money, we have to agree to maintain eligibility levels in the medical assistance program. So that area of the budget for reductions or reform was off limit. The other area was higher ed and K-12 education. We could not reduce anything in that area below 2006 levels. And we were also limited, and not that we were going there, but we also cannot increase either of those areas above the greater of what you spent in 2008 and 9. So the federal government put some walls around the stimulus money that we received. We have already used the one-time resources in the past. We do not, in this supplemental budget, shift beyond the 7327 that was in the House proposal last year. That was part of Governor Pawlenty's unallotments. We did not establish a budget reserve last year, so we have none to to utilize now. And we left the cash flow account at $350 million to facilitate the management of our cash flow needs, as we have discussed in the past. On the bottom of page two, the first point, we cut most programs and operating budgets by 6%. The operating cuts and balances go across all, it goes to non-general funds and small agencies as well, and that portion of it saves about $70 million. So when you look at the sheet, Mr. Chair and members, you'll see the 65 or whatever detailed pages. A lot of those are smaller boards and commissions in the operating reductions, and we're transferring the funds, the non-general funds, into the general fund. All funds, as I'm saying, contributes to the solution. One-time reductions and balances from special revenue accounts are transferred. We transfer savings from the health care access fund, and we utilize the Douglas Johnson Economic Protection Fund is reduced by $30 million, as well as the 21st Century Mineral Fund at $5 million. All told, the other funds that are transferred into the general fund Mr. Chairman, it's about $120 million. 56 from Human Services, that's roughly 48 from TANF, or from the Healthcare Access Fund, $30 million from the Douglas J. Johnson Fund, $5 million from the 21st Century Mineral Fund. That's $83 million of the $120 million. If you look at the top of, then on the top of page three, we have, we utilize additional, we booked two quarters of federal medical assistance program money that we anticipate receiving for the two quarters ending our biennium. Right now, the $1.7 billion we receive as part of the FMAP money blinks off at the end of calendar 10. Currently, 11 other states have taken this action. It was passed in the U.S. House. It's in President Obama's budget and has been endorsed by Senate leaders. We think that meets the threshold of including in our budget, similar to what we did last year. If we if this doesn't materialize, Mr. Chairman, we will propose and take other actions. We ratify, as we've discussed, the unallotments as permanent reductions, and that is important because it, as you know, the unallotment authority exists only in the current biennium, and this allows, if you make the governor's unallotments permanent, it saves $2.2 billion in the tails. The and as I said, we do not shift the 7327 beyond what was the House proposal last year and what was in the governor's unallotments. And then we include, or we reduce the 2012 and 13 gap from 5.4 to 2.4. And then on the bottom of the slide, you see the proposed changes by area and the total of $1.2 billion. Mr. Chair, that's my grand overview.
Okay.
I can go into more detail if you would like, or Mr. Showalter and I will stand for questions.
Okay, just quick, when is the bill language going to be available?
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Jim Showalter, State Budget Director. It'll certainly be a couple of weeks before any bill language is ready. As in past years, we get the budget documents ready, and it will take some time to now get through the bill structure. And we'll be starting that basically today.
Commissioner? We have known about this for months. We were told we would get the budget in middle January. We got it about a month later. Now we're told we don't even get bill drafts for another 2 weeks. That's the facts, right? How is this? I'm trying to think of the words in the state of the straight. Which kind of action did he call for? Immediate, or it was some stronger word. So anyway, okay. Questions? Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I want to go to your comment about the state of your higher education institutions, and then you went for the maximum that you're allowed under the payments of effort.
Correct.
And my question is, how does financial aid play into that?
Because your description points out that there are several financial aid programs that are being cut. Would that not put you above the $47 million, or is financial aid exempt from the maintenance of effort?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, yes, it's the maintenance of effort requirement for the stabilization funds applies to institutional funding. Not financial
not
aid.
Not individual aid, then, Mr.
Yeah,
Chairman.
Yeah, that's correct.
Representative
Winchester. The point being, Mr. Chairman, that higher ed is being cut, however, more than the $47 million when we include financial aid, then.
53 point, what's the total number of higher ed, if you include the financial aid?
Mr. Showalter, I'll look that up.
Mr. Chair, as you said, $53 million.
So why does the governor's press release say $47
million? Mr. Chair, because that was really drafted to talk about just some of the major elements of the solution, and really that is tying to that maintenance effort.
Okay.
Representative Lanchester.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Hansen, under Chair Pogemiller's guidance, this group, and walkthrough exercise that I believe Mr. Showalter worked on, not positive on that, but Mr. Mossman and Mr. Marks kind of came up with this sort of budget calculator where you could input cuts and revenue and whatever you wanted to do to solve deficits. And I recall, and I'm ready to be corrected here, but I recall that if we had cut $1.2 billion, all cuts, the exercise demonstrated that a deficit of $5.4 billion in the next biennium would be reduced to $3 billion. So I actually was quite persuaded by that exercise to acknowledge, just speaking for me personally, that with revenue off the table, I thought what we should do, and I continue to think this, is just do all cuts. And I see the benefit there in not only permanence and stability, but you bring that 5.4 number down. So what I'm looking at, what the governor's doing, bottom of page 3, where he gets to the 1.2, to me, I just like to understand this. Is he cutting $1.2 billion? Or is the federal, we're going to bank on something coming that we don't know if it's coming, is that one time? Can we call? How will that feed into the forecast? Is this going to dramatically, say we just pass this, would we make the deficit 5.4 in the future, go down to $3 billion, or some number above that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lanchesky, the of the 1.2 of our current biennial reductions, about, I don't know if you have the exact number, but about 700 or so is what carries forward into the out biennium. And the federal money we booked as one time. I would be, I didn't stay to all the hearings and watch the Marks-Moxman exercise, but maybe I'll go back and review. I'm interested to see how 1.2 translates that far in reduction. So it depends on what they are. But and then the other piece, I'm just speaking off the top of my head. The other, if you look at some of the elements in your issue area, the governor's tax proposal buys down our tails a little bit as well. Our tax plan ramps up and costs more. Yeah, you're nodding. It costs more in 12 and 13.
$340 million.
Right, $340 million.
I think it's 388 by the next biennium.
388. You've added it up. So that brings our that number from the Marks-Mossman exercise for our perspective down a little bit. And then
how does adding $380 million bring the number down?
Nets again.
It's against it.
It worsens the tails.
Yeah, it worsens the tails. Okay. Our tails would have been better, but for that spending.
Okay.
We net it out.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, I'm interested in all the transfers that are taking place from the special revenue when people pay a fee for a service and there happens to be a little extra money in that special revenue, we're taking it. Can you give me a total amount, and I know some of that is not the health care access fund is a big one, but do you have a total amount minus the health care access fund? I'm looking at your detailed budgets on page 37. There's about $600,000 from one, a petroleum tank release cleanup, and the other expenditures from that. There's lots of transfers in and expending those special revenues. You have a total of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, we have a total, as the Commissioner mentioned earlier in the presentation. The total is about $120 million. Of that, roughly $56 million is in the area of health and human services. Virtually all, but not quite all, of that is transfers from the Health Care Access Fund to the general fund that are in current statute, but were not included in the forecast because the access fund didn't have enough money to make it. under this proposal, that transfer would be possible and would go forward. The balance is made up of a number, quite a number, of transfers from other funds. I've got it by bill area, not by fund. We can certainly go through and try to create that. In the detailed documents that we have, you know, we do start to know some of those funds. In general, what you're seeing is the governor's instructions to look at all parts of state government, non-general fund operating as well as operating in the general fund, and to reduce them all and to use them on a one-time basis as savings or contributions towards the general fund deficit. So whether it's funds that typically don't get don't contribute to the deficit are in this instance. So lots of special revenue funds, lots of fee activities are included in that overall $120 million figure. And you know, those are all included in that list of cuts that was released yesterday and it's on our website.
Do you have a separate list of that?
Mr. Chair, that was my question. You have a separate list, and you said you have them by bill form,
yeah.
And that's fine to do that. It sounds like you're making progress on getting a bill ready. But if you have that available in the different bill areas, we would appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, we'll get that to you. And that's a good point. Different this year than other budgets we've done, we've gone into other funds more. And we're going to, you're going to want to take a good look at that, and we'll make sure we get that for you.
I understand, Mr. Chair, you've gone into other funds, but you've also are taking those other funds.
Yes.
I mean, that's not on your, that's not different necessarily.
That's what I meant.
But that's, again, do you consider that one-time money, or are you continuing to explore the opportunity to keep those fees there and to cut the expenditures in that fee and have them continue to flow into the general fund?
That's a current biennial. We don't carry that forward into the
tails. Okay, thank you.
So on that line, on the one-time transfers, $120 million, how much one-time money is in the bill, in the cuts? How much is one-time? Have you calculated how much is one-time? Sounds like if you got $700 million that carries forward, it sounds like about $500 million is one-time.
Yeah, and this is, I'm just whispering to Mr. Showalter, Mr. Chair, this is where we always, we net out. We net it out, and you always like us to break out the what is specifically expenditures by, you know, the carry forward versus one time. So when we factor in our and we do our budgeting, we net everything out going forward.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chair, I to continue on to the $120 million in transfers that we're talking about, you're right, is essentially one time with one minor item. Exception to that. And so I assumed your figure, what you were adding that to the FMAP figure.
Well, if you've only got $700 million out of the 1.2 that's continual, that's about $500 million more that's not.
Yes, and to be clear, that $700 million is a net figure, so that includes the $330 million in tax cuts that are net against the roughly $1 billion in ongoing cuts to a net of $700.
So how much one-time money is here? The federal FMAP for sure.
387.
So it looks like about $500 million.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking that we were getting the 500. It was basically the transfers plus that FMAP is essentially the one-time nature of it. The rest is, in general, you're going to find almost all of the other cuts are ongoing.
Were you unable, Commissioner, to come up with permanent cuts of $1.2
billion? Well, Mr. Chairman, we came up with $700 of a million of cuts that carry forward, and
I'm asking you, were you unable to come up with $1.2
billion? Well, we came up, we took our tails down from 5.4 to 2.4.
Commissioner, was this a hard question? Were you unable to come up with $1.2 billion in permanent cuts?
We came up with the budget that you have before you.
Did you choose not to come up with $1.2 billion in permanent cuts?
Did we choose not to? I don't understand what you're getting at. We look at the $1.2 billion that we had to solve in the current biennium, and we tried to make as much progress as we could in the tails.
Senator Metzen.
Oh, shifting gears just a little bit. I talk about the priorities and holding harmless. public safety, and I believe that means cops and firefighters and what have you, but at the same token, we're cutting $250 million in local government aids, and I don't know what, I would guess a third or so of the local budgets are public safety, so I'm a little confused on this one. I mean, that the cities and the will have to, I would think, look to where the big dollars are, and that would be in public safety. But I read in the newspaper, and I see here on the list priorities in that area. So maybe I'm the only one confused, but how do you avoid, with cutting the local government aid, getting at where a lot of the dollars are at?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, again, it's a list of imperfect choices. When the governor talks about public safety, he usually says core public safety or state public safety. We feel that local units of government have to bear the responsibility of these times as well, and expect them to make the right decisions. I'm not the revenue commissioner, but I know that I think 50% of this they're allowed to levy back. Is that correct?
In the extension of the levy limits.
So there's some relief there if they choose.
How about the $10 million in cuts to the corrections department? Are those not public safety?
It does not. Not the definition, our definition of core public safety.
What is your... Okay, so you have a different definition of public safety.
I think
safety.
When we look at it.
A generally accepted definition?
Well, from our parameters of our budgeting, you know, the Highway Patrol, the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension,
Department of Corrections is not in your core definition of public safety?
I think we went lighter on reductions to the Department of Corrections. We have in the past excluded them, but... last year, at the end of the legislative session, Representative Paymar and Senator Higgins were quite forceful advocates for prompting reform and change at corrections, and we chose to, this year in our budget, enact some reductions along the lines that they suggested.
But you do have reductions in the Department of Public Safety.
Yes.
$10 million. And you have a reduction in the courts, which have something to do with public safety.
3%.
You have 7, 8, 9, 10. It looks like $12 million in cuts to courts. They have something to do with public safety. We're just trying to get.
Right. But that's why
this notion that we're not affecting public safety in the governor's budget just doesn't seem to be accurate.
You know, he says core or state public safety. It's not all. I don't think I've ever seen him say all public safety.
So on that line of thought. How about on education? This seems to say that the 12 and 13, not seem, it does say that the 12 and 13 education money will not be paid back for 12 and 13. So it's now moved out for two more years. And in the paper I read that the governor is recommending making those, his so-called unallotments, making those permanent. So does that mean there is no intent ever to pay that money back? Because that's what that sounds like. And I'm just trying to ascertain which way the governor wants it. Is he permanently cutting education, or is he just delaying payments for another two or three years?
Mr. Chairman, we are shifting the $1.2 billion from the 12 and 13 biennium out to the next biennium. So I guess that would qualify. They still get all the money. I guess it would meet your definition of delay. It's shifting beyond that biennium.
And when, Commissioner, when would they get that money under this? Under the governor's proposal, when would they? And we're talking about just the 1.2 because the $600 million is already gone.
Well,
that property tax recognition shift is gone. There's no intent to pay that back. So you're saying that in 2014, the intent would be to, under the governor's proposal, the intent would be to pay back the $1.2 billion in 2014?
Right. In our proposal, Mr. Chairman, we go back to legislatively enacting the shift. which would also include the property tax recognition shift. It shifts them. The school districts are made whole as far as how they receive it. It's just the timing of the payments. And then as far as when the shift is actually bought back, that's in the statute. You know, when we have a surplus, the first thing we buy back is the shift.
You would, I hope you had a sense of humor today, you would actually need the legislature to do what you just said. Is that correct?
That's correct. And okay. I always have a sense of humor.
Okay.
Senator.
So under the governor's scenario, if we did what the governor is now asking us to do, this money would not be available till 2014.
That's how the shift works. Yes.
Well, actually, the way the language works is if there is a balanced budget and if there is revenue available after paying back, refilling the budget reserve.
Oh, the reserve is first.
Right. That if the legislature were actually to do what you're suggesting, there's no guarantee it'll be paid back in 2014 because there does not appear to be a way by 2014 to refill the budget reserve or to pay for paying this back. And so based on the numbers the department has run, when do you anticipate, if the legislature chose to do what the governor is now asking, when do you anticipate that that actually could be paid back? 16, 17?
So you're saying that because this was not legislatively...
No, I'm saying that if the legislature did what you're now asking...
Yes. Oh, when
would
we
actually
have a surplus?
Be paid back theoretically? Because we'd have to refill the budget reserve. We're going to be digging our way out of a $5 to $7 billion deficit.
Right, but remember, I don't know. I mean
I'll leave this after this one. So the St. Paul paper is not accurate today when it says Poletti called on the legislature to make the 209 unallotment budget cuts permanent. That is not what the governor is recommending.
Back to that last question.
Okay.
I think if we, for example, have any dollar increase, if we have a surplus in February, it would go to the budget reserve first. So even though we have a deficit.
This year, if we have a surplus in February?
Let me try. Mr. Chair, I think I can bring you both together in the same place. There's an improvement in the forecast this February or March 2nd, that would obviously reduce the deficit. If it's a fantastic forecast, which I don't think anybody's anticipating, then you would start to be able to refill the budget reserve once the deficit is eliminated.
Got to be a surplus altogether.
It would have to be a surplus. It would have to be a surplus beyond the existing deficit.
But you're not arguing that's going to happen.
No, I'm not arguing that whatsoever.
Someday, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the uncertainty is when will the state have the opportunity to have a surplus? At that point, if the legislature were to enact these shifts as been proposed, they would then go in the line of forecast adjustments or replenishments at some later date. Should the revenues warrant
it? So, Commissioner, let me ask again, is the St. Paul paper not correct? Is this correct or not correct? Poletti called upon the legislature to make the 209 unallotment budget cuts permanent. Is that correct or not correct? Is he recommending we make those permanent, or is he not recommending that we make those permanent?
We will have legislation coming forward that seeks to make our unallotments carry forward into the 12 and 13 biennium. So, yes.
So he is recommending to make them permanent?
Yes.
So this is an accurate statement. Poletti called upon the legislature to make his 2-9 unallotment budget cuts permanent. That is accurate.
That's correct.
Okay. So that doesn't sound like anybody ever intends on paying it back. What am I missing?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think there's two different types of actions here. You're looking at, and I think most commonly understood, the unallotments being a reduction in spending. Reduction is one time. That comment that you're pulling from the newspaper really speaks to the extending those reductions in spending from 2011 into 12 and 13. For the administrative actions and executive actions that led to the property tax recognition delay, as well as the change in the payment timing of the K-12 payments, those are delays in payments as opposed to reductions in the base appropriations for those areas. The governor's proposal is to codify those, to make those similar to what has been discussed in the past or utilized in the past. So those delays would be permanent, but as you know and have argued before, there are other pieces of law that would replenish or reverse those contingent revenue increases. So I'm trying to get to the basic point that it would be a permanent change. But unlike base cuts and spending, these shifts have contingencies that are also wired into law.
Well, it seems pretty simple. They're either permanent budget cuts or they're not. And I'm just trying to find out if they are under the governor's recommendation. And I seem to be hearing both answers, yes and no. And I'm just curious which it is under the governor's recommendation.
The cuts that are cut, those that are were meant to be cuts are going to continue as cuts, and if they're delays, they're going to be delays. The payment shift.
Which were meant to be cuts and which were meant to be delays?
Well, that's in the sheets. The payment, the biggest delay is the payment shift, the 1.2 and the $600 million of the property tax recognition shift.
Commissioner, looking at for 12 and 13, looking at the documents the governor gave us yesterday, it's a cut. And I'm just trying to get on the record, which isn't. The ones we were given yesterday, I'm looking on the summary one. It looks like this.
All right.
On page 2 of 28, I see $1.3 billion permanent cut in 12 and 13. That's a negative number. And all I'm trying to ascertain is if that is a cut or is that not a cut. And on the budget sheet, it's a cut.
It's a savings in 12 and 13. It's money that's being paid in the 2014-15 biennium. I think the debt.
How do you expect Minnesotans to understand this if the commissioner is having trouble explaining it to us?
No, Senator, Mr. Chairman, a cut is typically what you're referencing as a cut is something that goes away and never comes back. Okay.
Right.
This is a shift in payment into the next biennium.
To the 14 biennium.
Yeah. It has a commonly used by both parties over the years as a kind of last resort budget reserve.
Commissioner, actually, that's not factually correct. When it has been used, it has not been common. And when it has been used, there has been a revenue increase attached to it in every instance in the past. So I believe it's not accurate to say this is something we do all the time.
Right. Well, the last 8 years. Because
it is not.
The last 8 years. And then I don't think when we did it in 2000, we did it when Governor Ventura. Yeah, we did have a revenue increase then, didn't we?
Yes. Governor Carlson had a revenue increase. Then one other factual issue, and again, I hope you'll maintain your sense of humor because I know you agree. You testified to the tax committee to this effect 2 years ago. The governor in his press release says the historic, quote, with quotation marks around it, so this is something the governor is saying, historic drop in the economy has caused a historic drop in state revenues. It appears that the governor now agrees with the state economist and the finance commissioner who have both said on numerous occasions that we have a revenue problem because of the historic economic situation. Do I read that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. I had just one more thing I wanted to point out. Commissioner, I passed out this must be a copy of the letter that the bonding agency sent us. Do you have this? It's a copy of the letter? Do we get a copy of the commissioner?
And this was last week, apparently, we got this.
Is this the February 9th, Mr. Chairman, 2010 Moody's?
Yes, right. Matt Mossman.
Moody's.
Do you have that? Yeah.
Well,
I've got A, B, and C. Do you have that on there? Let's get you a copy with the A, B, and C on there.
Please.
No, it's a copy. I had Xerox. You don't have it, Matt, either. Matt, you don't have it.
Here, you can have my copy.
Here. I just want to point out several things that this letter said. A,
handwritten.
Up by A, it says, Minnesota, this is written by the bond agency, not us. Minnesota debt levels have historically been a neutral to positive part of the state's credit profile. This was a letter we got last week. B, the rating outlook for the state of Minnesota is negative. Then C, under what could change, what could screw the rating up? Continued reliance on one-term solutions to solve recurring budget shortfalls. D, that's one thing that could. And here we know we're doing $500 million out of 1.2 is 1.1 time. D, absence of a plan to budget without the benefit of federal stimulus. That's the $400 million that hit the threshold, apparently, Commissioner, that even though it hasn't passed Congress, it hit the threshold to be in our budget numbers. Do you think our threshold's a little low? I've been here over 25 years, and I've never seen a budget put together based on something the federal government might do.
Well,
because they seem a little stuck at the federal level. Commissioner, so how do you justify putting almost $400 million in here of one-time money from the federal government that it's not really clear they're ever going to pass that?
Well, a couple of things, Mr. Chair. First, I think that if we finish our work in May or whenever we adjourn and we rely on the federal money, and if it hasn't been inactive, then I think this is true. If it doesn't come to fruition, we will have to recommend, and we will be prepared to recommend other solutions.
When will you do that?
Yeah, when?
When will you decide that it's not come to fruition?
Before we're done. We haven't crossed that bridge yet.
On May 14th or on Standard, April
30th? We haven't got to that. That's a legitimate question. But I think that that there's enough indications in Washington, and 12 other states have done it. I think it's important that we recognize that.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, as you know, Commissioner Hansen, you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. And I think we have to talk then a little bit about what your end game here is. You keep talking about it. They haven't acted by the time we.
Sure.
Then would your plan be to unlock
that
where is plan B if you want to have legislative input? Our finance committees in the House and the Senate have to have your recommendations on how to handle that $387 million well in advance of the term, not only because of our House rules and so on in terms of when you act, and the same would be true of the Senate, but to give the committees a chance to have hearings and public input. So what is your end game? By the way, I just footnoted yesterday, found out there's been a little discussion about extension in the U.S. House, but virtually none in the U.S. Senate. And, you know, we're 3 months from adjournment as we sit here today. So what is the end play, game plan?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, again, we are confident enough to include this in our budget. Now, I should say there's also talk and plans in Washington to carry forward this FMAP money into the tails, out into what would be our next biennium. We thought that was too speculative, and we kept that out. So having said that, it's something that we're confident enough to have in here. And regarding the unallotment, our plan is to have a solution. We're not doing all of this with the idea that we're just going to unallot in the end.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to request that you provide us with what I'll call a plan B. if this were not to happen, I think you should be presenting to the legislature a balanced budget and one that gives us some information on what your proposals would be on that $387 million, well in advance of our constitutional deadline to adjourn. We don't have a balanced budget here before us, and Senator Pogemiller pointed out in his 20-some years, and I think I can say with confidence in my 38 years, I have not seen this kind of a proposal that bets on something that may or may not happen.
Well, we did it last year.
How'd that work out?
We got the money. We got more than what we anticipated. So we started when we introduced the governor's budget.
We're in a $1.2 billion deficit after what we did last year.
But that has nothing to do with the federal stimulus money. That we booked a smaller amount. We had the same discussion, that we did last year, and it turns out we ended up receiving more than what was anticipated.
Representative Silber.
Mr. Chair, I think those decisions in Washington were made in February sometime, and the decisions that are going to be made in Washington not last year.
The bill's passed in January.
January.
It was in January.
Yeah. We had at least some passage of some bills. We didn't probably know what the numbers were, but the passage of the bills, I really think that in all seriousness, we just need to have that information given to us before our deadline so that committees can take a look at it.
Just to clarify, before the governor put his budget out last February or early March, we had a signed federal bill. It was signed by the President of the United States. We knew the money was coming.
Mr. Chair, when the governor submitted his initial budget in January, there was no bill. You are correct. By the time that his supplemental rec, sort of his adjustment to that package, that was in place. When his initial budget was in place, it was not there.
But we're already mid-March here. Mid-February. We are to where his supplemental numbers were coming out. So are you saying
March?
So is there going to be a second budget presented to us, as Representative Carlson has suggested?
What we will have, Mr. Chairman and members, is a supplemental based on whatever the numbers, however the numbers change in the next forecast. And you'll have that, hopefully, before your deadlines.
And you will still be betting the Feds is going to send us this $400 million?
We are, based on what we're hearing in Washington, that's our proposal.
What is the source of your information then in Washington? Because that's different than what I heard yesterday, which is that the U.S. Senate has had virtually no conversations about the extension, but the U.S. House has. So,
well, we have 12 other states. And
who's speaking for Congress? Information that we can rely on building one-third
Well, we rely on our Washington office as well as our National Association of State Budget Officers as our source of information. And if you go ahead and you want to put your budget together without it, I will understand.
Well,
you don't have
Chairman,
to book it if you don't want to.
What we're requesting is you've got the tools, you've got the Department
yes.
of Finance at your availability,
right.
that you come forward with a balanced budget so that the legislature
to that. Right. Well, it turned out last year under similar circumstances. We think that money's going to come through, and at this point in time, that's our proposal.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Silber.
I assume then that the governor would accept the stimulus money if it ever came to us.
Yes.
Well, that is that a change?
No.
No,
I think that there's a big difference.
Okay.
He accepted it last year.
Yes.
There's a big difference between opposing something, but once it becomes law, getting our share.
Oh, okay.
If you pay for the pizza, you get a slice.
Representative Biscuits.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of items, Mr. Chairman. First is just to clear up this whole issue of the K-12 and a cut versus a shift. And I think just to put it in very simple language, Commissioner, does the governor's proposal envision that school districts will get 100% of their FY10 funding?
Yes.
Does the governor's proposal envision that they will get 100% of their FY11 funding?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Then I think it's pretty obvious it's not a cut.
Well, Representative Biskins, if I could just...
Thank you.
Then I think you need to fix on page 3 the handout that says ratify on allotments as permanent reductions. That says permanent reduction. No additional shifts. Well, if what you just said is true, that's an additional shift. And cut future budget from 5.4 to 2.4, it just mathematically does not do that if someday someone's going to pay it back. I'm just trying to figure out which way it is. And if this is what it is, then the St. Paul article was correct. If what Representative Biskins just said is correct, then this slide that you presented this morning is not correct. I mean, math is math. I've got a 6-year-old who I help, and she's doing adding and subtracting right now. She could figure out that these two things are inconsistent, and I just want to know which one it is. Pick one. And you can't have it both ways, Commissioner of Finance.
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry for interrupting. Okay. I'm just trying to find out which way it is.
Well, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do appreciate that you're trying to get words to mean things. I think that's important and doesn't happen enough around here, so I do appreciate that. And I don't think anyone would ever say that the 10% shift that's in current law has ever been a 10% cut. One final question, Mr. Chairman. Now that this is put on the table, has the Senate and the House leadership talked about a timeline for when they will come out with a budget recommendation? Can you inform
absolutely.
The body when that timeline is?
Absolutely. The Senate's already passed two major pieces. We intend on passing a cut bill here in the next few weeks, so absolutely. It would help if the governor would come with a budget that got the job done. But we're willing to wait for a budget that does.
And so, Mr. Chairman, in talking about a state budget, there hasn't been a discussion between the House and Senate when a complete state budget proposal from the legislature would come forward.
Absolutely has been.
And that is when?
In the coming month or so. Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to point out that under the statute that the governor signed, and this gets to the Lynn Carlson question, I do not believe that the balanced budget state statute that the governor signed has been fulfilled by this proposal. We would just request that you do that. And where I'm having confusion, not only on the 387, but I'm having confusion now on what the 12-13 numbers are here. I mean, we just need in writing what the proposal is so we can ascertain whether it actually mathematically adds up. That's all. That's all I'm asking for, Commissioner, and I hope we don't have to wait for 2 weeks to get the language. I would think you could provide us enough information so we can figure out.
So something beyond the 65 pages that we provided?
Yeah. Because it's clear from the handout and the discussion we had with Representative Biskins that your out-year's numbers don't work. They're not correct, one way or the other. If it's a permanent cut, they might be correct. If it's not a permanent cut, they are not correct.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the K-12 shift is shifted out of 12 and 13, as is the property tax recognition shift. We enact it all legislatively going forward.
No, you request that it be enacted.
Well, yeah, we request, obviously.
And based on the governor's actions to date, you have cut $600 million on the property tax recognition shift that there's no intent to pay back. Are you now saying that you're going to request that the legislature pass something that allows that $600 million to be paid back? Is that what you're saying?
We are, when we say making the unallotments by ratifying the unallotments, it allows the savings that we have booked in 10 and 11 to carry forward into 12 and 13.
So they don't show up as non-savings until 14 and 15. Will those show up again on the budget sheet
someday? They're meant to be ongoing.
Representative Biskins just said that they're not meant to be ongoing, that they are going to show up on the budget
sheet. If you are a school district, you're getting everything that you were going to get before.
When? Commissioner, I'm not trying to be difficult. I just want to know, is it going to show up on the budget sheet in 14 and 15 or is it not?
If you're a school district, you are not getting cut. You weren't cut on allotments and you're not being cut now.
Any other questions?
Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one more of the commissioner. Commissioner, can you explain to this body what the purpose of the governor's jobs plan was for?
Well, to stimulate the private sector and create jobs that will then hopefully somewhere down the road create more revenue.
Thank
so
you.
That we don't have meetings, we don't have to have meetings like this.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm sort of wondering what the, you know, if the purpose of this subcommittee is to whipsaw Tom Hansen, we're doing a pretty good job, but the...
Senator Senjum.
Yes.
Senator Senjum.
We've had
it. Do you think the commissioner was trying... Do you know if that money shows up in the budget in 14 or 15 or not?
Do you I know do not answer? At this point.
I was trying to find out if it was. I'm not trying to whipsaw the commissioner.
I'm trying
to find out what the facts are.
Mr. Chair, I was just talking about the last hour. And it's been introspective. There's no question about that. What I'd like to know, Mr. Chair, is looking at the five categories of budget changes there, and, you know, is there anything that you people... Yeah. Pardon me, the majority can agree on with respect to the governor's proposal. Is there anything, at least for starting, to start this discussion out amongst this committee, which I assume is going to provide leadership in this whole process as we go forward, is there anything there that you see that we could initially agree on?
Absolutely. I'm quoting the paper saying that.
I mean,
it's up to about $600 million in cuts of this proposal that we will pass.
And, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you're willing at this point to be more specific, but just for instance, category by category. I mean,
I think we'll cut at least $46 million out of higher ed, yes.
And local aids, $250? I mean, are
no,
you generally
we will
in
not,
that?
We will not cut $250 out of local aids. I'm speaking for the Senate now. I don't know what the House is going to do. I believe we'll cut state agencies as much as the governor.
Okay.
What did we do on health?
So
I believe we'll cut health care as much as the governor.
So is Mr. Chair are differences then with local aid to local units of government and the
federal.
And the federal? Is that where
and K-12
we have
yes.
to work out?
And
K-12. Okay, well that's to me a good piece of ground.
That's good. That's fair.
Senator Senn, wouldn't you agree it would be good to know whether the governor's in 14, that money shows up on the budget sheet again or not? Don't you think that would be a good thing for us to know?
And, Mr. Chair, I don't disagree with that, and through this process we'll come to know that.
Well, do you think the Commissioner of Finance should be able to tell us that today?
Mr. Chair, if he's prepared to. I think he has. Frankly, I think he has.
Okay, what is the answer?
Well, I'll be the first.
What is the answer?
I'll be the first finance or MFB commissioner in state history that will be able to predict beyond the horizon, Mr. Chairman. We don't budget or predict beyond our planning estimates. We budget and forecast out through 2013. How am I supposed to do that?
No, Commissioner, that's not even what I'm asking. What I'm asking is your sheet says, this slide you gave us says, ratify unallotments as permanent reductions and no additional shifts. That's what this says. Mm-hmm. Representative Biskins said something else, and you said Representative Biskins is correct.
Yeah.
I just want to know which one it is.
If you are a school district, you are not getting cut in the current biennium, and there are no proposals to be cut in 12 and 13 as well.
They're going to get the money this biennium in 12 and 13.
They're going to get the money for their operations that they have always received. We're not cutting school districts. The shift,
Commissioner,
the K-12 shift is not a cut to school districts.
Commissioner, your budget sheet says that $1.3 billion in 2012 and 12 and 13 will not be given to school districts. That's what your budget sheet says. Is that incorrect?
No.
They okay, so are, how does that square with what you just said, that they will the get shift, that money this year and next year and the year after?
Mr. Chairman, the shift works as it always has. It serves to move and delay the funding into the next biennium, but school districts remain whole in their funding. It works the same today as it did yesterday, as it did 8 years ago, as it did 20 years ago.
Commissioner, with all due respect, that seems like word games to me.
Well, I don't think it is.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, any other question, Mr. Showalter?
Since this is the world premiere of this slide, we haven't used these slides at any other forum at any other time. Does it seem like the appropriate edit here is to say ratify on allotments and then have the subpoint? Would that help to clarify, to make sure that the communication of what the governor's supplemental budget is consistent and fits, I think, the expectations and understanding of what the proposals are? We'd be happy to do that. We're not trying to.
Well, you better then look at what 12-13 gap by $2.2 billion means, because that number doesn't work.
Okay.
Professionals at
we
the
can
department.
Follow, we can follow that
My
up.
Only issue is I want to know which it is. Once factually know which it is, we can have a discussion about whether that's good public policy or not. If we can't even agree on the math, how do we have that discussion? And as professionals at the department, I would think you could give us an accurate mathematical rendering of this proposal.
Mr. Chair, and if we haven't, we would be happy to continue working with your staff.
Representative Carlson. Yeah.
I want to make a formal request, and if necessary, follow it up with a letter. But I really want to know, in fairly short order, what your backup plan is for the 287.
387.
Or 387, excuse me. I think that's a legitimate request because of the uncertainty. And you can present it either to this committee or the House Finance Committee, but I think that's something that is vitally necessary if we're going to move forward in the next 2 to 3 months.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, I don't want us to mismatch expectations. I realize that's what you're requesting. Our budget is as presented.
Mr. Chairman, it's not in balance. That's the problem. Well, you're betting on something that may or may not happen. And all I'm asking for is the backup plan for that 387. That's one-third of the problem that we're trying to address, and we don't have enough information to move forward. And I think it would be appropriate for you to provide what you would do to resolve that issue if we don't get the federal dollars before we would adjourn.
And I understand that, Mr. Chairman and Representative Carlson, but I don't want you to be mistaken that I'm accepting your premise that our budget's not balanced, for it is.
Well, I think any reasonable person would realize that it's not, but
we will
that
see.
Is it may.
Commissioner, I would ask you, as Commissioner, confirmed by the Senate, to reread the statute that was signed by the governor on presenting balanced budgets to the legislature.
Law, not statute.
And I don't see how under reasonable interpretations of things we're having this difficulty. So that,
which statute are you talking about?
The balanced budget statute that was passed last session.
This is the Laura Broad.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. When this was said, I had two other meetings set at the same time, so I hope I'm not covering ground we've already covered, but I listened to a little bit of the conversation about the 387, and I don't know, and Commissioner, so I understand the position you and I have had a chance to talk to, and also I had a chance to talk to Mr. Showalter yesterday about the expectations of the 387. My question is a little bit different. This is kind of the 387, as I understand it, is not part of the president's original stimulus plan, but it's monies of a similar sort. Is there any disagreement with that?
It's part of the president's budget.
Okay. Proposal. So I just want to make sure I understand that the governor, who has been critical of the president and the president's stimulus efforts back to the states, still wants to make sure he takes advantage of it at this opportunity. Is there any disagreement with that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, I think that it's a legitimate public debate at the national level how much they spend. From the perspective of assembling our supplemental budget, whether or not this money shows up, and we believe it is a legitimate decision to put into our budget.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, the national debate, and that's not my intent to engage in that, but the national debate, your comments has been that there's a legitimate concern or question as to the amount that's appropriate, but there's no concern as to this particular 387. That amount's fine. So at a micro level, some of the stimulus monies are fine. At a macro level, we're not so sure. Would that be a fair statement then? Is that what I heard you say?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, we have accepted all of the stimulus money, and the governor has always been very clear that while it's not the approach he would have taken, once it becomes law, we have the duty to help Minnesota as best we can.
No, Mr. Chairman, if it's money that's inappropriately appropriated by the President of the U.S. Congress, then I would suggest Minnesota's obligation would be to reject the money if, in fact, it's money that we should not be spending. I don't engage in far-fetched analogies, but, if there's a concern on the part of the administration that what the president's doing is not the correct course of conduct, why would, as a state, would we participate in that? Why would we encourage the president and the Congress to continue to do inappropriate things?
Because, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, we pay taxes to the federal government, and last I checked, we are still get about 70 to 80 cents on the dollar from the feds. So I think we're, as a state, due, and I'd rather have the money come here than Missouri, Texas, Utah, Iowa, or Wisconsin.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, I certainly agree with that, but I think there's just a slight touch of hypocrisy relative to that.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, just one quick, since we've built the budget on that 387, it's extremely important for us, and the Congress has not made a decision on that yet. Is the governor going to advocate Congress pass this in a public way? Is he going to be out there saying, Congress, please pass this?
I think he means that rhetorically. So.
Well, I was going to say we hope they pass a budget, and I assume they're going to pass a budget forward, and they better, because
I guess it's a rhetorical
our other funds
question.
Is billions of dollars that we get from the federal government.
Okay, so.
Mr. Chairman, it's not a rhetorical question. If you are seeking some action which hasn't taken place, it would seem to me it would be incumbent upon the governor to speak, if not to our senators, to Senator Klobuchar and Senator Franken, and to House members, but certainly the governor, as a former, I think he's the former chair of the National Governors Association at this point. He's not the current chair, is he?
He was the NGA chair a few years ago.
Pardon?
Yeah, he was.
So obviously
former.
So obviously, having been in that role, he knows a number of the folks around the country, both other governors as well as members of the Congress. I would think Representative Solberg's point is well taken. It's not rhetorical. He ought to make sure he's working with particularly Republican members of the U.S. Senate, to be blunt, to encourage passage of the president's budget so we can get the 387. Because I agree with what Commissioner Hansen has said relative to federal tax dollars. And I was able to catch upstairs a little bit of the debate in my previous meeting. I kind of had one ear in terms of Mr. Chairman, of your discussion about the 387 and its placement in this budget. But because it is placed in the budget and because we do need it, I think it's incumbent upon the governor. I don't think this is sheer rhetoric on the part of Representative Solberg.
Commissioner, apparently it was not a rhetorical question. So anyway, okay, Commissioner.
Should have left it at that. I should have just shut up and we would have been done.
I was trying to make
I try to move on.
You are. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Showalter, thank you very much. We'll be visiting again. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.